And at 7:05 here this morning, we have mostly cloudy skies. The rain has subsided here for the moment. We anticipate isolated showers to continue here throughout the day in the Nishna Valley. And we picked up so far 89 one-hundredths of an inch of rainfall here at the KJN studios here as of the top of the hour. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in local news here on KJAN. The Adams County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest of a Messina woman late Friday night on a prior warrant. Deputies arrested 19-year-old Kaylin Smith of Messina at 11:40 p.m. following a traffic stop. Smith was arrested on an Adams County warrant for possession of a controlled substance marijuana first offense. That stems from a traffic stop back on April 15th. Smith was held on $1,300 bond. A Pottawatomie County man was sentenced on Friday to slightly more than 8 years in prison on child pornography charges. According to the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa, 41-year-old Mitchell Eugene Obrecht of Carter Lake was sentenced by U.S. District Court Judge Rebecca Goodgame Ebinger to 97 months in prison for possession of child pornography. Obrecht will be required to serve 10 years of supervised release following his imprisonment. On January 30th of 2017, Obrecht pled guilty to an indictment charging him with possession of child pornography on or about September 18th of 2015. The charge resulted from an investigation into the posting of a video and an image, each depicting child pornography, on a social networking site. Law enforcement followed up with a search warrant of Obrecht's residence and located two computers that contained over 1,000 images of child pornography. The Iowa Division of Criminal Investigations Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, Carter Lake, Iowa Police Department, and Douglas County, Nebraska Sheriff's Office conducted the investigation. The case was prosecuted by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa. A Sioux City teen has been arrested and charged with a felony after police said he intentionally shot his 3-year-old sister twice in the face with a BB gun, severely injuring her. The Sioux City Journal reports that the 17-year-old shot the preschooler Wednesday, breaking her jaw and requiring surgery. The teen has been charged with willful injury. The Associated Press generally does not name juveniles charged with crimes. Doctors say one BB was removed during surgery, but the other BB entered near her eye and lodged next to her brain. Doctors say it was too risky to remove, so it has been left in place. The teen is being held in Woodbury County Jail. The man who was arrested for the ambush-style shooting deaths of two Des Moines area police officers last year pled guilty on Friday. Scott Green of Urbandale was then sentenced to two consecutive terms of life in prison. Polk County Attorney John Sarcone, at a news conference after the court hearing, was asked about Green's motive.
I think he just disliked police officers. I think we saw that in some of the conversations that he had and visits. I think he did not like police officers.
The 46-year-old Green admitted to killing Urbandale police officer Justin Martin and Des Moines police sergeant Tony Bimenio with an assault rifle in the early morning hours of November 2, 2016. Green told District Court Judge Karen Romano he's been taking medication for depression. Sarcone said that may have been part of Green's defense strategy had the case gone to trial, but he doubts that it would have worked.
You know, when people suffer from depression, that's one thing, but that's not an excuse for criminal conduct. And this man planned what he was going to do. He had loaded that gun, and he reloaded that gun, and he had other loaded magazines ready for that gun. So he planned this out completely.
Writings and drawings on Green's jail cell walls following his arrest further tied him to the case. Sarcone said those writings included a hit list with six names.
On the hit list were deputies from the jail and me. Yeah, there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and he had check marks to the two officers.
Green's trial was scheduled to be held in September in Dubuque. Sarcone said while he felt strongly about his case, he's pleased with the turn of events.
I think it's something that's probably better that the family didn't have to go through 2 or 3 weeks of trial, sit there and go through that process. So, no, we don't feel cheated at all. We're glad that it happened, and we're glad that he's going to prison for the rest of his life.
Urbandale Police Chief Ross McCarty said he got no satisfaction or joy from Green's guilty plea.
We're glad he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison. Our hearts go out to those correctional officers and other inmates that have to work or be around him during that time. But as far as the satisfying into it, no, this is going to go on with us, and the Viminio and the Martin family for a long time past this.
Des Moines Police Chief Dana Wingert echoed McCarty's statements.
I'm not to the point of forgiveness, but those emotions within the law enforcement family pale when you compare them to the Martin and Viminio families and what they're feeling. So I don't think anybody expected relief or closure. This will live on with us for the rest of our careers and the rest of our lives.
Officer Justin Martin, who was 24, was buried in his hometown of Rockwell City. Sergeant Tony Viminio, who was 38, was an 11-year veteran of the Des Moines Police Department. He was married with three children. Sad news in the Vilsack family. Former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack's granddaughter has died. 6-year-old Ella Vilsack passed away Thursday night from complications due to influenza. She's the daughter of Jess and Kate Vilsack. Jess Vilsack is an attorney in Des Moines, who is the oldest son of Tom and Christy Vilsack. News of the girl's death has spread through the Vilsack's hometown of Mount Pleasant and among the family's friends and colleagues in Iowa and throughout the country. Governor Terry Branstad says the parents accused of mistreating two Iowa teenagers who recently starved to death will be held accountable by the justice system. And the government, our governor, says that staff in the Department of Human Services who did child welfare checks in both homes are trying to do the best that they can.
We have to review what went wrong and how we can do a better job to prevent these things from happening in the future.
An outside consultant is being hired to review the state's child welfare system. Natalie Finn of West Des Moines starved to death last fall, despite reports from neighbors and school officials who raised concerns about her home environment. Sabrina Ray of Perry, who also was 16, died last week, and the medical examiner says she was severely malnourished. Child abuse investigators had visited her home as well.
It just breaks my heart to see this happening in our state, and I want to do all we can to try to prevent it from happening again.
A few Democrats in the legislature have called for the resignation of Iowa Department of Human Services Director Chuck Palmer after the second case of adopted teenager dying of starvation. Branstad says Palmer's running the biggest agency in state government, and it deals with tens of thousands of child welfare cases.
It's such a terrible tragedy when you have a teenage child that starves to death or is mistreated. But I also want you to know that Chuck Palmer is a very dedicated public servant who has worked hard to deal with a lot of important issues, everything from the redesign of our mental health system to Medicaid to protecting children.
Branstad says Palmer has done a lot of good and the agency has prevented tragedies.
But we are very, very disappointed and upset that we have lost these young children, and we obviously want to do everything we can to make sure this doesn't happen again.
The Republican chairman of the government oversight committees in the House and Senate released a statement about their own investigation of the state agency. The GOP legislators say the starvation death of a second child who was on the Department of Human Services radar confirms the need for an examination of the state's foster care system and how child abuse reports are handled. Officers with the Atlantic Police Department on Friday arrested 22-year-old Bryce Baker of Atlantic. Police Chief Dave Erickson reports Baker was taken into custody for domestic abuse assault, third or subsequent offense. He was booked into the Cass County Jail. A judge has signed off on the charges against a man accused of killing a sheriff's deputy and wounding another while escaping from an Iowa jail. The Pottawatomie County District Judge on Friday also scheduled 24-year-old Wesley Correa Carminati's arraignment hearing for June 19th. Authorities say Correa Carminati had just been sentenced on May 1st to 45 years in prison in an unrelated murder case when he managed to grab one of the deputy's guns while being transferred to a Council Bluffs jail. He shot them both and used the jail van to escape. He was recaptured after authorities say he carjacked a woman at gunpoint and forced her to drive to Omaha, Nebraska. Correa Carminati is charged with murder, attempted murder, escape, kidnapping, and other counts. And the Mills County Sheriff's Office says three people were arrested on separate charges over the past few days. Yesterday, on Thursday, 47-year-old Robert Edmund Elmore of Omaha was arrested for OWI second offense. Bond was set at $2,000. 35-year-old Aaron Lee Gillespie of Glenwood was arrested at the Mills County Sheriff's Office on a warrant for failure to appear in court on an original charge of theft in the fifth degree, for which he was arrested on Wednesday. On Tuesday, 20-year-old Austin Ray Jarrett of Glenwood was arrested for domestic abuse assault. And the sheriff's office says no injuries were reported following a single vehicle accident that happened Tuesday evening. Authorities say Alice Binskoder of Taber was driving a 2006 Chevy southbound on Main Street in Taber when she lost control of the vehicle and entered a ditch on the west side of the road. The vehicle struck a driveway culvert and the speed limit sign, knocking it over. The vehicle continued for about 5 to 6 blocks with heavy front-end damage before it was stopped by a Fremont County Sheriff's deputy. Binskoder initially claimed the wind had blown her off the road, then added that a tire had blown out, causing her to drive off the road. Authorities noted the tire was flat and there was heavy damage to the front passenger side fender, bumper, and grill areas. There was also damage along the side of the truck on the passenger side. That's a look at some of the latest in local news. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements. Mary Ellen Knopp, age 93, of Atlantic, died Monday at Atlantic Specialty Care. Memorial services for Mary Ellen Knopp will be held on today at 10:30 a.m. at the First United Presbyterian Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. LaVon Queck Lutz, age 79, of Centerville, Minnesota, and formerly of Fontenelle, died May 11th at home. A celebration of life service for LaVon Lutz will be held today at 11 a.m. at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Andrew Andy Fredrickson, age 66, of Atlantic, died May 4th at home. A celebration of life event for Andy Fredrickson will be held on Monday at 6 to 8 p.m. at Nishna Hills Golf Club in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home Atlantic is assisting with arrangements. Ruby Edmonds, age 97, of Manning, died Wednesday at the Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Funeral services for Ruby Edmonds will be held on Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. Dr. James H. Bailey, DVM, age 93, of Brookings, South Dakota, and a native of Atlantic, died May 12th at the Brookings Hospital. Burial for Dr. James H. Bailey will be held on Tuesday at 11 a.m. in the Atlantic Cemetery. The Eidsness Funeral Home in Brookings, South Dakota, has the arrangements. Carolyn Kintner, age 88, of Elkhorn, formerly of Harlan, died Friday at Salem Lutheran Nursing Home in Elkhorn. Mass of Christian burial for Carolyn Kintner will be held Tuesday at 11 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. George Kusel, age 81, of Messina, died Thursday at his home. Funeral services for George Kusel will be held Tuesday at 11 a.m. at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. James Leo Friend, age 79, of Erling, died Wednesday at the Little Flower Haven Nursing Home in Erling. Memorial services for James Friend will be held at a later date. Recon Vee Funeral Home in Oakland has the arrangements. That's a look at your latest in news and funeral announcements on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.